COVID-19 is impacting the plans for sports to resume, but it's not just college and the pros who have to manage things, it's families.
You know, how comfortable am I as a parent signing a COVID-19 waiver?
That is John Solomon, editorial director of the Aspen Institute Sports and Society Program. He's one of the nation's leading voices in the area of youth sports, and he joins us on today's show. I'm Seth Davis from The Athletic, and this is The Comeback, COVID-19 and the Return of Sports. We'll get to John Solomon in a moment, but first, let's update you on what's happening around the world of sports. The NFL and its Players Association are hammering out the details on health and safety protocols ahead of football potentially returning this fall. There's a whole list of questions the players have put forward to the NFL related to the virus, including what would happen to a player if he tests positive while on the road for an away game. In the past few weeks, the president of the Players Association, Cleveland Browns center J.C. Treader, has questioned how seriously the NFL is taking the virus. The league has to work quick because training camps are supposed to open in a couple of weeks. In the WNBA, the Washington Mystics say they will pay their star player, Elena Deladon, despite the WNBA denying the reigning MVP a medical exemption to sit out the season. Deladon has Lyme disease and is arguing that she's immune compromised. But this week, a panel of doctors for the league considered her case and ruled that she is not at an increased risk for COVID-19. Deladon says she was shocked at that ruling and is still thinking about whether to sit out the season. Now to a topic that is near and dear to my heart, youth sports. I have three boys who play club soccer, and I'm one of the millions of parents who are wondering whether my kids will play sports this year. I addressed that question and a whole lot more with John Solomon, who for a long time was a reporter at CBS Sports and is now the editorial director at the Aspen Institute's Sports and Society Program. John, thanks for being on the pod. Let's just go up to 50,000 feet here and just take a real big picture view on where we are in this country. Give me the state of the union in the United States with respect to youth sports.
Well, right now, for some people, it's on pause because of COVID-19. And for others, they're right back into it. It's been interesting to see, you know, in about May, there were a lot of travel sports organizations, particularly baseball, that started coming back up because there's a lot of money that's attached to this. It's a very highly commercialized industry, estimated to be a $19 billion industry. And it's people's livelihoods, you know, at stake who run these clubs and tournaments and events. So some of them rush back. Some have not. And then there are some who are really hurting financially, a lot of them, because they're down tournament fees, they're down registration fees. So it's a sort of a little bit all over the place.
So for the places that have gone back, how are they doing?
Well, you know, I mean, some are, you know, having kids back out there, right? And they're having fun, and we want kids back out there being physically active. Some are, I think, rushing back too soon. And there's a lot of public health experts who caution that we really need to bring a phased return back to youth sports, meaning depending on what their situation looks like on the ground with the transmission of the virus, let's go slow. So first, you know, you could start with individual trainings, you know, then it could be some, you know, team practices, assuming conditions are right with the right guidelines. Then when you do play games again, a lot of people really preach, and we say this as well, play locally first, you know, for sports, really travel sports, going to different regions of the country, different states should be the last part to come back, because you're potentially carrying the transmission with you to different parts of the country, and you're getting into some really large gatherings. And we know that rates are going up in many states.
Well, they're going up in California, where I live, and specifically in Los Angeles, as we were just discussing before we started. So I'm here in LA. I've got three sons who are in soccer clubs, playing club soccer. And a couple of my kids, they just started, the teams just started having basically conditioning and skill sessions, but you know, individual sessions as a group. So there's strict protocols. Kids got to bring their own ball. They got to space out. There's no kicking the ball to each other. Parents have to stay in their cars, which, by the way, I think should be a permanent rule, which is for another show. But is that something that you would approve of, something that's basically safe and smart to do, not only at this time, but in a place like Los Angeles, which is one of the real hot spots?
Yeah, it's a smarter way to go, again, depending on what the local conditions are. And I know Los Angeles has been picking up. I have read some reports that there's different opinions and confusion within the state of California about whether the State Department of Public Health really is allowing people to come back and play youth sports or not. There is some confusion over what was sent back in June about are trainings allowed. There was an email that someone sent And there's been some articles back and forth about this. And now the state is saying, no, there shouldn't be youth sports trainings going on. So one of the real challenges during this pandemic is, one, we don't really have a lot of national messaging and a national strategy, you know, to try to reduce the virus. But second, youth sports is, even before the pandemic, is very fragmented, right? There's no one entity that oversees it. In many other countries, you do have sport ministries, and they can provide rules and guidelines and laws even, and also financing too. Youth sports is just all over the place, and you're going to see different perspectives from different communities. But individual training for soccer, just generically speaking, makes more sense depending on what the conditions like around the ground.
You recently wrote a story on youth football in America as far as what should be happening, what the potential is for the fall, if any. Give us a breakdown in terms of what you found.
Yeah, so I mean, like USA Football, you know, did a survey of youth sports parents. This was of kids, you know, ages 5 to 14. And 61% of them said that they think tackle football is going to be high risk during a pandemic. 30% said they think flag football is a high risk during the pandemic. So you're starting to see the football conversation start to happen for youth in high school, because July, August, this is the time of year practices are going to be picking up. There's not a lot of consensus yet exactly what this season's going to look like. And I think it's going to vary around the country, you know, in different communities. Football is a very hard sport to bring back. It's during a pandemic. It's maybe one of the hardest ones out there, if you just think about it, for many obvious reasons. One just being, of course, contact, right? You're in physical contact with someone on every single play. You're breathing on them every single play. It's also a larger roster sport with typically many more players on the team, many more staff on the team. And so, you know, one thing that I wrote about in the story exploring is, you know, is flag football maybe the better option, the better goal for youth and high school football this fall instead of tackle? You could still be, you know, playing with friends, still moving. There may be ways to separate people, you know, and, more easily. I think we will see a lot try to play tackle football. And I think the decisions that ultimately come from the NFL and major college football conferences will ultimately probably trickle down to a lot of these communities too. If college football is going to end up, you know, canceling, the SEC, you know, that's going to be a lot harder for, say, you know, high schools in Georgia to say, we're going to play high school football this season.
The Aspen Institute recently published a checklist of questions that parents should be asking regarding safety protocols, whether their kids should return to playing sports. Can you highlight for us the most important ones there?
Yeah. So, I mean, these are just basically like 8 simple questions that, you know, if you're a family member, you know, parent or a caregiver of a child who plays sports, you can ask yourself, you can ask your youth sports team, you know, organizer. One, you know, is my child or household members more vulnerable to becoming ill for COVID-19, right? Really important to understand what you're bringing into your home and the risk. Has my child's program shared a detailed plan for COVID-19 risk mitigation? So, you know, ask your coach, ask your youth sports provider, you know, what is your plan? What is your plan for equipment and trainings and physical and mental wellness? And you can compare those plans, you know, to recommendations that are made by, you know, national governing bodies in your particular sport. You know, how comfortable am I as a parent signing a COVID-19 waiver? You know, that's, those waivers are happening a lot for a lot of leagues to try to have, you know, mitigate liability risk. And it's just something to think about, because, you know, any waiver you sign, you know, you hopefully should be accompanied by documentation from the league of the measures they're going to take to try to mitigate the risk of infection.
So, look, I know you're not an epidemiologist. I think we're all kind of amateur epidemiologists these days. But a lot of people are saying, hey, young people are far less likely to get sick and die of this thing. They need to be in school. They need to be playing sports. If they get the virus, it's really not that big of a deal. Are they wrong?
Well, I don't think anyone should want to get the virus, right? I mean, I understand your point. There's no doubt the data and research so far is showing that kids, younger people are less likely to A, get the virus, and then if they do, less likely to have serious long-term, serious health problems or even death. But the risk still isn't zero, right? There have been cases of, you know, teenagers who have come down with some serious ailments. And then the bigger risk, though, as well, is what the youth who potentially picks up the virus, if they get it, or the adult who's a coach or a parent at the game who gets it, how they potentially spread it to other people within the community, to those with underlying health conditions. So yeah, we absolutely want kids coming back and playing sports again as quickly as possible. There's so many kids are missing out on the physical benefits, the social and emotional benefits are huge right now, the loss of that. There's gonna be a lot of mental health challenges, I think, for youth as they come back to schools and they come back to sports. And I would argue that, you know, coaches are gonna have to rethink how they coach. And one of their main jobs is gonna be recognizing mental health red flags and being able to communicate with their athletes in a different way. And, you know, they're not necessarily trained, of course, to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but they need to be able to understand that there are some kids who are having a really, really difficult time right now. The University of Wisconsin recently did a survey of about 3,000 adolescent athletes in that state, and about 65% of the athletes reported showing signs of anxiety, signs of depression as well. And they had 50% less physical activity during the month of May compared to normal results. So the loss of this is monumental, but we need to bring sports back in a responsible way and in a safe way so it's not impacting other people in the community or adults who are even at these events.
Broadening our lens here, widening the lens here, John, not only with youth sports, these questions, but college sports, pro sports. Just scrolling through your Twitter feed today, you seem to be relatively pessimistic, even more so than a lot of people, about whether or not there's going to be college sports, about whether or not there's even going to be pro sports. Why is that?
I just think it's really, really hard to bring some of these sports back. I mean, just take, you know, college football, for instance. We talked about high school and youth football. I think college football may be the hardest sport of all to come back in a safe, responsible way. You're talking about 18 to 22 year olds who will be back on campus and interacting with the student population and going to bars and hanging out, and coaches and athletic departments can do everything they possibly can to try to reduce that and drill home that message. You need to be really smart and safe. And they're still 18 to 22 year olds, and they're going to get infected. It's just going to happen. We've seen it with the voluntary workouts that are happening this summer. Second, you know, college football is a sport that travels to different parts of the country, different regions, larger roster sizes, contact sport. They don't have uniform testing policies as well. You know, at least, you know, the NBA is in a semi-bubble and they have uniform testing procedures, what it looks like for everybody. That's not happening, you know, in college football, at least not yet. It's just a real challenge to bring it back. I hope it happens, but I think the Ivy League announcement the other day about, you know, no fall sports is going to impact, you know, a lot of university presidents. I think the major conferences are still going to really, really try to play football this fall, and they're going to hold off maybe a couple more weeks, you know, late July, early August, because there's a lot of money at stake. But ultimately, if football gets played and we still have these high, you know, transmission rates, and if there are more deaths and more hospitalizations, university presidents are going to have to answer a really difficult question. And that is, why do you think it's safe to play football? Whereas some really smart and some of the leading scientists and health experts in the Ivy League right now say it's not. And the Ivy League also was on the forefront by shutting down the basketball tournaments in March. So I hope there's sports. I don't want to sound like a doom and gloomer because I miss sports a lot myself, but it's tough.
And as far as these youth organizations are concerned, you know, these AAU programs in various sports, Little League, Pop Warner, what are the financial implications long term if there is a shutdown basically across the nation or the majority of the nation throughout the fall and winter of youth sports? Can these organizations survive that?
You know, it'll depend, you know, on each particular organization. Some will. There will be some that definitely do not survive. And not necessarily even the national sport organizations, but even think about the local in-town recreational leagues. Parks and rec departments are going to get hit hard. You know, they're the ones who are facing budget cuts of, you know, 10, 20, 30%, both for this year. They're already facing cuts for next year as well. And those are the ones who also support the kids who can't afford to play travel sports. I mean, it costs a lot of money often to play some of these club teams. And even before the pandemic, there was a huge haves versus have-nots in youth sports. There are the kids who can afford to play and the equipment and the resources, and those who can't. And the divide has continued to grow. And one of our fears is that it will only continue to grow, post-pandemic. So we really, Project Play and the Aspen Institute, one thing that we really focus on is trying to revitalize in-town leagues and trying to bring back community-based sports in a way that is both affordable and also needs to be a higher quality, as well. In youth sports over the past couple of decades, it's really been sort of the privatization of youth sports. When I grew up in the 90s, I was on a travel soccer team, but it was travel within just, the DC area and the region. It wasn't like what we see today, where you're going to, different states. And there's not necessarily anything inherently wrong with that, right? There's a lot of kids and families, and Seth, I know your family does it and I'm sure enjoys it and loves it. But it's also sometimes created problems too, like early specialization, which can lead to overuse injuries and the risk of burnout. And it has furthered this gap and left behind a lot of lower income kids who just can't afford to play.
Finally, John, I need you to settle a debate for me. Is it true that playing PlayStation and Xbox for hours on end strengthens a young boy's minds and their hand-eye coordination and their overall health? Because this seems to be a very popular argument in my house.
It is not true. I'm with you. I have an 11-year-old and 13-year-old. We can both team up on this as well. But what's interesting, though, about the video games, and this back to my broader point here about youth sports, is we often bemoan the video games and how they're keeping kids from playing outside and being physically active. And there's truth to that. But the video games are really smart. Like, they're kid-centric. They've created an atmosphere where you can play with your friends, and teammates. You can customize it depending on the certain level and your skill level. You're not necessarily rushed through to play at a much higher level than what you're at. You don't have adults looking over your shoulder and shouting at you, shoot, pass, swing, every single time. As adults, we don't understand these video games. So they're on their own. And I think there's a lesson to be learned for youth sports is that, hey, let's actually ask kids what they want out of their youth sports experience, just like the video game makers do out of the video game experiences. And maybe we have a better product and are keeping more kids playing sports.
That's an interesting concept to be continued on that one. Maybe just turn the whole youth sports world over to the video game guys and leave the parents out of it is a way to go. But look, I hope youth sports does come back. For all the complaining I might do as a parent, I want my kids active and playing sports. And it's a tough time. We really appreciate what the Aspen Institute does and what you do in particular to keep us all informed and thinking about these things. And I appreciate you being on the show.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Seth.
My thanks to John Solomon for joining the show. I'm Seth Davis, and this is The Comeback presented by The Athletic. Be sure to follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you access your podcasts as we track the major issues surrounding the return of sports. Thanks for listening, everybody.